Good Saturday afternoon to you. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz. You're listening to 94.5 WGTK, The Answer in Greenville, South Carolina. And hopefully we are watching Hurricane Irma go spinning herself off into the Atlantic towards Europe and cold water and just be a memory of a close call and not that we're actually dealing with an imminent landfall. I'm actually not here today because of hurricanes and because I have a daughter in Charleston. I'm recording a show today so I can be down there in case I need to get her home and all her stuff, which is, you know, not nearly as hard when she was just had a dorm room with just a few things. But now that there's an apartment involved, there's a whole lot more stuff involved and who knows what I'm having to do today. But anyway, I hope if Irma's off, then, you know, you're out enjoying the beauty of September in South Carolina and the cool temperatures we're supposed to have. And if she's indeed coming to South Carolina, I've hoped you have heated warnings, have evacuated where you need to evacuate from, stocked up on water. And look, you know, you see the first thing in Florida is everybody goes, oh, they're out of bottled water. People, there's tap water. You know, go up to the store and get you a $2 5-gallon storage container that's made for potable water and, you know, fill it up out of your own tap water. You don't have to go buy cases of water. You can, you know, if you need to, you can fill up a bathtub, which will help flush toilets. So anyway, just want either way, I hope you're prepared. I know I wish I was better prepared for this, but, I'm not. So, which is why I'm here in the studio today. But anyway, it is September in South Carolina. There's a lot of things going on and I'm going to do the calendar events as if Irma's not even going to be around. If there is a storm impact here in South Carolina, please check some of these calendar events in case they have been canceled, postponed, and we're going to actually talk to Helton Sea Grant Consortium about the Beach Sweep, River Sweep. They have an alternate date set for that. So just a few things for the calendar events brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing and Event Center, which is the other guest that we talked to today. They've got their event at Green Pond Landing out at Green Pond Boat Ramp this January. The Striped Bass Challenge is having their Winter Classic there January 5th and 6th. So anyway, if you are going out in the woods deer hunting this year, remember, or hunting at all, you have to have your hunter education card. If you are born after June 30th, 1979, to get a license here in South Carolina, you must have that hunter education card. Go to the DNR website. They offer both classrooms and online self-studies. I know I've had several people ask me about this year. You know, you can do the self-study online if you can't make a class, if you need that card earlier rather than later. Go do that. You want to be legal. And they're just a good class. It's just a good refresher course, even for some of those of us who have had it since 1990. I remember taking that course out of Greenville Tech. Good times. Had a great instructor. So get your hunter education card if you need it and be legal. Like I said, we talked to South Carolina Sea Grant Consortium about the Beach Sweep, River Sweep. That's September the 16th. Most times will be from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. She said along the coast, you know, might do a little more with the tides. But you can find out more information at SC Sea Grant and at the Department of Natural Resources. It's a good opportunity to, you know, to do something good for the environment. I don't want to come across as an environmental wacko like everybody thinks they are, but there's nothing wrong with keeping things clean, whether it's your own backyard, the Saluda River, you know, Myrtle Beach. It doesn't matter. It's all good for the state, all good for our natural environment. Because we want to hand what we've got down to the next generation in better shape than we got it. In conjunction with that, the Tiger River Foundation is having their own little sweep power hour Saturday, September 16th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Volunteers wanted. Spend 1 hour of your Saturday picking up litter to help make the Tiger 10 parks beautiful again. That's over on Walnut Grove Road in Roebuck, South Carolina. Light refreshments will be provided to all volunteers. It's brought to you again, the Tiger River Foundation. Talked about the Beach Sweep, River Sweep. There are coastal locations all over. There are inland locations all over. Go to those websites and find more. September the 15th is the third annual Flood Tide Company Taylor's Ball down in Charleston again. these events, make sure they're still going on. Badfish TV is also hoping there's a captain's meeting for the Taylor's Cup, which is on Saturday. They're going to have lots of tunes, brews, raffles, social oddities that may require your attention. So for more information, go to floodtidecompany.com and check out and maybe go down and meet some guys who like to throw the whippy stick like you do. Hardyville Catfish Festival 2017 is going to be September 15th and 16th. They have parades, big fishing tournament for catfish, of course. Cornhole tournament. Yeah, I kind of got involved in cornhole down at ICAST. So fireworks, plenty of food and stuff. Anyway, that's the Hardyville Catfish Festival, September 15th and 16th. That's in Hardyville, South Carolina, behind the City Hall. Whoopsie, already covered that one. Ride the Tide for Waccamaw Riverkeeper of Winya Rivers Foundation. Again, this is part of that Beach Sweep River Sweep. It's by the Winya, the Waccamaw Riverkeepers. Join us on the third annual Ride the Tide event. We had so much fun last year. We can't wait to fun start again this year. Proceeds will be given to the Waccamaw Riverkeeper of Winya Rivers Foundation. On Saturday, September 16th, please join together with family, friends, and your community for our 2017 Ride the Tide event. It's a fun-filled four-hour float down the Waccamaw River. It begins at Litchfield Plantation and end at Hagley Landing in Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Registration begins at 9 o'clock, blast off 10. And any non-motorized vehicle such as tube, kayak, canoe, you can rent one for us or make your own float. It's open to any non-motorized flotation device, so I guess you could even wear a life jacket. Just a few things, but remember to check out these events just to make sure they haven't been changed by Irma, which we have no control over. Anyway, hang on through the break. You're going to hear from Mike Dillon, who is the Vice President of Operations for Richard Childress Racing and the Harvest Food, Golden Harvest Food Bank, about the upcoming Striper Tournament on Hartwell. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're enjoying the show today. And we are, man, we are privileged today to have two people on who, from different worlds, put together an event that that we're going to tell you about, both the fishing side and feeding meals to the hungry through the Golden Harvest Food Bank. Mike Dillon, he is the Senior Vice President, Business Operations for Richard Childress Racing. Christina Alexander is with the Golden Harvest Food Bank. Both of you, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thanks for taking time out. And let's get some people out fishing and bringing some food donations down to Green Pond Landing in January.
Well, thank you for having
me. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Mike,
RC. I don't know who to. I'm used to, Christina, I'm used to ladies going first, so you always speak first.
Christina, tell us a little bit about the Golden Harvest Food Bank.
So we are the food bank that helps make sure that food pantries, soup kitchens that directly feed people have the food that they need to do that. So we work with them to make sure that they're able to provide meals to everyone, you know, in the upstate area, especially where there is such a great need. There are a lot of people who are facing hunger.
Mike, you are with Richard Childress Racing. You guys had a great weekend last weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. We had a couple cars in the top 10 and started to hopefully got some momentum going for the chase coming up.
I gotcha. And you're in charge, you and Robin Jarrett are in charge of the Striped Bass Challenge. Now, last year it was called the Fall Brawl. Couldn't find a date to make it a fall event this year, so we got the Winter Classic, which is taking place on Lake Hartwell, January the 6th, 5th through the 6th. And the beneficiary of all of this, through a kind of a nifty thing y'all have with all the fishermen that are coming, is the Golden Harvest Food Bank. Tell us a little bit about the striper fishing and the Winter Classic that's coming up.
Well, one of the reasons we decided to move it was, to get past the hunting season. And, so hopefully we could get a few more anglers out there. So, we try to do that. And the other, we're pretty busy on the racing side in December, going to banquets, I'm hoping, and doing different things like that. And obviously we have Christmas. So we tried to move it to see if we could get more of our anglers out there, you know, be able to raise more food. You know, our love of fishing was, I'm still a relatively, young at this. I started about 5 years ago and fell in love with striper fishing.
Right.
And then, I got invited to go to a tournament with a friend, and, I saw a way that maybe we could do something here. And then I got some other people in the business at a little higher level, probably Earl Bentz, who, was the founder of Triton Boats.
Right.
Is the one who recommended me, to do something with a charity.
Okay.
Because felt like that's what was going to be able to bring in support for the event. And, we have some, actually another tie I have is Pit Stop for Hope here that, Ray Wright, founded at RCR that, works with Golden Harvest Food Banks in our area.
Okay.
And, it was a perfect
sure
tie. You know, obviously that need is always there. And it's actually, it's relatively a pretty easy, way for people to help, others, by providing meals. And, you know, it's, you know, I think everybody has most people have goodness in them.
Yes.
That want to help and maybe not know a way. And providing a meal for somebody is, about as good a way as you can do it. So, you know, we have contests. I've got a lot of support and, from product sponsors and sponsors alike, from Bass Pro Shop to American Ethanol. Then we go into product sponsors like Grizzly Coolers, Costa,
yep,
and different things like that. And, they give us stuff to give away, and these anglers come in and, I mean, they literally bring their boat full of, canned goods and stuff with the food bank. And then there's monetary donations made. So it's a great thing. And, the food drive is, the most important part of the weekend, and, makes it really a special event, and it's fun to do. Then we get to fish a little bit.
Yep.
And then, probably my next biggest thing I like about it is we're really trying to have a big push for the youth, getting the youth back outdoors and
right,
getting these kids fishing and hunting and,
yep,
and just getting outside and getting back out there. So we have a lot of competition for that.
We do. Christina, do you fish at all?
My parents desperately tried to teach me on the St. Lawrence River when I was young, but I was not a fan of worms.
Okay.
I watched a lot of fishing from the bank. but I do want to say this is just an amazing opportunity for us at Golden Harvest, and we don't mind one bit that it's moved into January. People are hungry year-round,
sure,
and this is a great way for people to get involved, and we love the enthusiasm of the fishermen. There are a couple of ways that they can donate.
Okay.
Like Mike said, you know, they'll come up the night before, and they'll have, you know, boats that are just laden down with canned goods, with canned meat, with canned vegetables, with pasta, with the whole grain stuff that we need. But they can also drop it off, you know, at any of our warehouses in Augusta,
okay,
in Aiken, or in Anderson, you know, up until the event. And they can bring food, they can donate money, and, you know, some of those donations actually earn them raffle tickets for those prizes that he was talking about.
Right, yeah.
So it's a really great way, and it makes such a huge impact so quickly. You know, last year they raised more than 45,000 meals, which is enough to feed just about everybody who is hungry, you know, a meal, at least a meal in the upstate area. And that's an amazing gift that they give us.
Mike, she was talking a little bit about a raffle tickets. Explain a little bit how that works.
So we have, we came up with a way that if, you bring 10 pounds of food, or I believe it's a $20 donation, you get a raffle ticket. And,
okay,
these guys are bringing 1,000 pounds of food, and getting hundreds of tickets. It's funny. You'll have some teams that'll have just oodles and oodles of tickets and stuff. And, excuse me.
Sure.
But, that's how they get their raffle ticket. And then, like I said, the stuff that we have to give away from all of our sponsors are different product sponsors is just amazing. And, it's open to the public too. So, if they want to come by and get a raffle ticket and do that and make these donations, they're welcome to. And, I believe it's the 4th. It should be, Friday night.
The 5th.
Yeah, Friday evening.
Yes.
We'll have our banquet and everything. And they can come by and they'll have Golden Harvest will have a truck out there, and we weigh it in and give them tickets. And
okay,
we, And then we start giving stuff away, and then we go fishing the next day. And really looking forward to it. I think we're going with our other idea we have with the school anglers, the fishing clubs. We think we're going to be able to increase our meals.
Friday night, where's that going to take place?
Civic Center
of Anderson.
Civic Center.
Yep.
Yes, Civic Center of Anderson. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I had it in front of me.
Yes. Yep. And the Civic Center of Anderson, and then we fish out at Green Pond.
Okay.
And all the people around there are so awesome. And I tell you something else. The South Carolina DNR, they're incredible. That's one of the things that keeps us coming back. They are so supportive of the tournament and the helping. It's really awesome, their support. We couldn't do it without them.
Christina, will you be there Friday night?
Oh, absolutely. I will be there. We're hoping to have a big reveal about, you know, what we anticipate has been raised so that we can share that with them before they go out and fish. And I will possibly persuade someone to teach me how to fish.
Well, hey, I'm sure out of all the teams that are going to be there to fish this thing, somebody will give you a ride on the lake.
Yeah, she'll be. I've already got a couple ideas. I got a couple ideas where she can fish it. There won't be any problem.
Very good, Mike. Tell us
wonderful.
Tell us a little bit about fishing Lake Hartwell in January.
Well, I haven't done it yet, so personally, but okay. I actually did go back. I did come out there and fish a tournament with Mark Crawford that he has, and it was fun. I love Hartwell. It's a beautiful lake, and obviously it covers two states, so that's incredible. And then the size of the fish is what's awesome too. You know, people can come out for Saturday evening for the weigh-in, and they're going to see some 30-pound plus fish weighed in, and that's what really makes it fun too. When somebody pulls out a big fish, and these guys are pretty sneaky too. They'll hold their fish back and wait till the end before they pull them up. But my favorite part of the tournament is the youth angler, and whoever wins the big fish this year is going to win a 16-foot aluminum tracker John boat from Bass Pro Shop, and it's going to have a 40-horsepower Mercury engine on the back, and it's going to be all decked out with a Minn Kota trolling motor and Humminbird fish finder and all this other stuff. So it's going to be for the youth. Is like I said, I'm a big supporter of trying to get these kids interested in going fishing.
And that boat you described, that is a kid's fishing dream. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a lot of adults' fishing dream. But definitely a kid's. It's gonna have a little center console in it and everything. So it's going to be a really neat little boat for our youth angler this year.
Very good. Well, you've got another, not to spend all your ammunition here at one time, but you've got another little thing going on with high school fishing food drives too.
Yeah, we're doing a competition until I forget what the date is. I'm not sure if we're going to stop it on at the end of December, but the high school fishing clubs and all the high schools in South Carolina, I think there's over 40 some fishing clubs. They all have to support themselves.
Right.
They don't get state funding or anything like that, like the baseball or football. So they have to support their own programs. And so we're going to have the competition is some pretty big monetary donation made to their club, whoever brings in the most food for the food bank. So we're figuring if every fishing club can bring in 2,000 pounds of food, we ought to be able to double our food intake and feed a lot of people, and plus the fishing clubs will get a lot of support also that way. You know, the ones that win will win a big prize.
Yeah, if I read your little flyer here correctly, receipts for the foods must be turned in by December the 15th, and clubs will be notified on the 20th. And if your club wins a prize, we'd like for you to join us on the 5th at our captain's meeting at Civic Center of Anderson.
Yep, that's what's on the sheet. That's what it is.
That's what it is. And
Robin tells me what to do, and so I created this monster, and she runs it. So Robin does a great job at doing that. But we I believe the first place school is also going to, I think it's either $2,500.
$2,000.
Okay, yeah, $2,000, and then we're paying back.
$1,500,
yep, $1,000. Yep, yep.
And
that's a big deal for them.
Yes, that goes a long way in buying gas for these kids who are going to fish these tournaments.
Yeah, fishing tournaments. We're going to try to have some other products for all the kids, for all the schools or clubs that get in it. We're going to try to have some product support and all that for those also. So everybody should receive something.
Very good. Mike Dillon, Striped Bass Challenge. This year is the Winter Challenge happening January the 5th and the 6th on Lake Hartwell at a Green Pond Landing. TheStripedBassChallenge.com is where you can go. Registration opens September the 1st, right, Mike?
Yes, sir. And I believe it closes the end of October.
End of October. And we appreciate you taking time to be out here. Appreciate your emphasis on fishing, getting it out there, getting the kids involved. I think this food drive with the high school clubs is a great thing. I don't know if that was your idea or Robin's, but whoever it was really neat.
If it works out really good, it was mine.
Okay.
And, if not, we'll put it on somebody else. But I believe it's going to work out. I think these anglers and the fishermen and all have been incredible for what they come out. They pay their entry fee to fish in a tournament. We have some really good prizes, first place money and all that, but they really seem to be interested in the food bank and what we're doing there on that project. So it's a lot of fun to be involved with.
And Christina Alexander, what would you do with 90,000 meals next January?
Oh, feed absolutely everyone I possibly could and a small happy man.
And your website, yep. If people want to go look and see what you do, or they want to donate online or find out where they can drop off food at, what is that contact, Christina?
That is goldenharvest.org. And yeah, if they want to donate food towards this, they can take it to any of our warehouse locations. They can donate online. They can let us know that this is what it's for. You know, they can get receipts, and okay. It will go right toward this cause.
Very good. Well, I appreciate both of you taking time to be on the show. Mike, appreciate what you're doing. Christina, thank you for looking out for the people who can't take care of themselves and here in the upstate of South Carolina. And we look forward to having both of you. Maybe have a little update later on in the year as we get closer to this event and see if we can't bring out some more people both to fish and get some more food donations for the hungry here in the upstate of South Carolina. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, all eyes are turned towards the south, looking at Irma. Man, hopefully she'll get caught up in some kind of meteorological thing and head off out to the sea. Won't affect us at all because we want to be able to carry through with a 29th annual cleanup called the Beach Sweep River Sweep. It's a partnership between the South Carolina Sea Grant Consortium and the Department of Natural Resources, and we are pleasantly surprised to have Susan Hill on us with the South Carolina Sea Grant Consortium. Susan, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thanks for having me, Roger.
Yes, ma'am. Gosh, we sure hope Irma goes away, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
But it's going to throw a kink in a lot of people's plans, not only this. But, man, 29 years y'all have been doing this.
Yes.
Quite a run.
It is. The South Carolina Sea Grant Consortium started the first beach sweep way back in 1988.
Wow.
And then we all know what happened in
1989. Right.
And then in 1990, we partnered with the Department of Natural Resources to make it a statewide litter cleanup.
Okay. Tell us take just a moment. Tell me about yourself. I've never met you. You were a contact that was good enough to respond and wanted to come and talk about this. So tell me just a minute about yourself.
Okay. I'm originally from Wisconsin.
Okay.
I moved down here 17 years ago to be closer to family on the East Coast.
Okay.
I was lucky enough to get a job at the consortium.
All right.
First as a public info specialist, and then as communications director. Met my wonderful husband, and the rest is history.
Wow. The Sea Grant Consortium, not many people know about it. Tell us just a little bit about it.
Okay. We're a small state agency that funds marine science, research, education, and outreach. We get our core funds from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Okay.
And some state funds.
Okay.
There are 33 Sea Grant programs in every coastal state and the Great Lakes region, as well as Puerto Rico.
Wow. Didn't know it was that big a thing. I thought it was just pretty much a South Carolina deal.
Nope.
29 years you've been doing this. I looked at some of the statistics on how much trash is picked up every year. It's just astronomical. Mm-hmm. If you're a numbers person and want to see how much has been picked up, you can go to the website, sceagrant.org, and it's got pretty much the results there for 2016 all the way back to 2002. And it skipped a few years. But, man, the amount of trash that you guys pick up every year is just incredible.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's probably about, I would say, averaging about 40 tons.
Good gracious.
A year.
This is not in the what we talked about earlier, but how do people, I mean, what do you put that kind of trash in? Because a lot of these people are in rivers and along the coast. How are they collecting all this trash?
It's a little more difficult on the rivers and in the creeks. They have to be very careful. We always ask them to please wear a PFD.
Okay.
And hopefully have some sort of net or litter grabber.
Okay.
So that they don't have to reach too far out of the boat.
Gotcha.
In order to get it.
Yep.
It is pretty difficult, but people do it every year.
Every year. You know, well, you see it all around you every day. Why is it important to pick up trash? I mean, whether it's yours that you drop out of your pocket or blows off a boat or something or somebody else's, why is it so important to pick up trash in South Carolina?
Well, it's good for the environment and the wildlife that lives in the environment. And it also helps build community pride. We don't want to live in a trash state.
Yes, we don't. And you know, trash impacts everything, but especially coastal environments, you know, the wetlands along the coast, birds, mammals, and fish that live there, they're all impacted. What are some of the things you see through the Sea Grant Consortium, the effects of trash in the environment?
Well, I guess one of the biggest hazards are for sea turtles.
Okay.
They can often mistake plastic bags for jellyfish, which is one of their main food sources.
Sure.
And so they eat those bags, and it clogs up their digestive system. Also, in terms of marine mammals, such as whales, mm-hmm. We do see some entanglements.
Okay.
So those are the biggest concerns, but also birds.
Yeah.
birds oftentimes can't distinguish between their regular, normal food source.
Right.
And pieces of plastic.
Yep.
And I've seen just some scary images of what happens to birds when they've eaten a bunch of plastic.
Yeah.
It's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, it is. You know, I will say that a lot of boat ramps around the state and all, you know, fishermen seen the need to recycle fishing line, and you see a lot of these big 4-inch PVC. It looks like it comes up out of the ground and takes a 90 degree out. That's actually a receptacle if you're a fisherman. You got monofilament or braid or whatever. That's a place you can put that, and they will come along and grab that and recycle that fishing line, because fishing line is one of those things that has a real harmful effect to both birds and fish if it's just thrown over the side of the boat.
Absolutely. And we are so thankful that we have those not only educational efforts out there, but actual things that people can do to take action and reduce the amount of debris in our environment.
And that's just a simple thing.
Yeah.
Beach sweep, and you're pretty much focused on the coastal area. DNR is pretty much focused on the rivers and all that. So if you want more information, what we're going to talk about next is going to pertain to pretty much to the whole state. But remember that this is mostly the coastal areas. If you want more information about the river sweep, you need to go to the DNR website. They've got all that information there. But some of this stuff it works for both of them. Somebody listening to this wants to get out next Saturday, and help from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. How do they volunteer to clean up site?
Okay. Both the South Carolina Sea Grant and DNR have a list of site captains and locations covered on each of our respective websites. So for Sea Grant, just go to our homepage, sccgrant.org, click on Beach Sweep, River Sweep, and then scroll down for the list of site captains. The DNR website is dnr.sc.gov.
Yep.
/BSRS, and it's a similar sign-up process there. So once you choose a site, just contact that site captain directly. Let them know you'd like to join their group.
Okay.
And they'll have supplies for you.
Okay.
You might want to bring gloves.
Okay.
I'm an optimist, so I'm saying sunglasses, a hat,
sure.
Something to keep you hydrated.
Okay.
Bug spray, and just the site captain will let you know where and when to meet.
Okay.
Now sometimes do vary.
Okay.
Let's say on the coast, if it's river cleanup or a creek sweep, they might actually go out more toward high tide.
Okay. Okay.
And so just keep that in mind. It's important to contact the site captain directly.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm scrolling through this list, and I see Myrtle Beach and, my goodness, it's Surfside Beach, Conway, McClellanville. I mean, there's sites all along there. If I'm somewhere and I don't see, and I know that there's a place, you know, a saltwater pond or an area along the beach that needs to be cleaned up, I don't see one here. I can actually be my own site captain.
Absolutely. All you have to do is either contact me over the phone or email, or contact Bill Marshall, He's the inland coordinator with DNR.
Okay. And like I said, getting involved in one of these places, if you don't have an idea of what to do, there's, 40 places along the coast and probably 20 places inland that you can get involved in. But if you know of a place, you know, that you see all the time that needs a cleanup, needs a little tender loving care, as we like to say, be your own site captain. Register, get it up there. They'll set you up here as a site captain. You get a few friends to come along with you to be your crew, and you can clean up your own little piece of heaven.
We would love that. each of us collects a list of needy areas.
Okay.
And so I've already started that list.
Okay.
But I can't be everywhere all the time.
Sure.
If you see a site, it looks like it needs good cleaning, just either call me or Bill.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, that is Saturday, September 16th, 2017. It's the 29th Beach Sweep River Sweep. You can find more information at scgrant.org or over on the DNR side, sc.gov/BSRS. We mentioned Irma, and we hope Irma is nowhere in this equation, but if something should happen and we aren't able to make September 16th, we do have a backup date.
Yeah, we do. It's October 21st. most people will do the sweep on that date.
Okay.
But we do want to be flexible.
Okay.
We don't know what impacts, if any, Hurricane Irma will have in South Carolina.
Okay.
But, you know, we're shooting for, best case scenario, September 16th.
Okay.
If we have to go to that backup date of October 21st, we will do that. Or whatever date works the best for our site captains.
Okay. And you know, this is a day that we can all do it, but any day you see trash is a good day to do a beach street, river street.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Susan, thank you for joining me on the show. Like I said, I hope we don't have any problems with the 16th. We got the 21st as a backup. And, you know, whether it's your trash, somebody else's trash, you know, it impacts both what we're looking at every day and all the animals and fish and birds that are impacted by it too. So do your own beach sweep, river sweep anytime you see a piece of trash. Susan, thanks for being on the show. We look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Thanks, Roger.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope each of those events you'll get involved in. Appreciate all three of the people who took time out of their day to be with me and talk about what you can get involved in, whether it's the beach sweep, river sweep, or the striped bass winter classic. It benefits Golden Harvest Food Banks. Like I said, you don't have to donate. I mean, to fish, to donate. They're open year round. They'll take your monetary or food donations 365 days a year. Yeah, I often get asked about ICAST and why I go and, you know, is it just one big party? And yeah, there are parties every night and we'll go to the coast to party and hang out and I don't drink, so it's no big deal to me. But it's a good time. A lot of it's almost like a family reunion. You see people once a year, twice a year at the most. And so it's just catching up. But a lot of it's new products. A lot of it's innovation. I've seen some really great things and talked here on the show about some things that I've seen at ICAST that I think you could use. But I had a friend of mine, Kim Perot, wrote an article about ICAST this year, and it really hits home. And we've had some conversation with the American Sport Fishing Association about ICAST, new products and some of the other, but this sums up ICAST pretty good from a lot of people's perspective. And it's, It's pretty good. Gobbledygook, language made meaningless by obtrusive technical terms, wordy and generally unintelligible jargon. If there was a prize given for gobbledygook, it'd be hard to find a more worthy candidate than some of the fishing gear manufacturers of the world. He just spent my usual midsummer week in Central Florida escaping Virginia's oppressive heat while strolling the floor of the American Sport Fishing Association's annual International Convention of Allied Sport Fishing Trade Show, called ICAST for short. It's an annual gathering of those who make and sell products designed for the fishing and, in part, boating industries. One emphasis area is looking at what's new to the market. True innovation is tough. Many products are touted as next generation or game-changing or cutting edge. They rarely are. Manufacturers are keen on labeling each part of a fishing reel as a system, giving it seemingly high-tech label they then trademark. Trying to understand these new systems is a daunting task. The trademark name really doesn't tell you much about the form or function. Shimano and Daiwa, for example, are fond of creating and labeling multiple systems within each product. I'll give them credit, though. When you're exploring fishing reels, their websites typically list the various technologies, proprietary and otherwise, and offer a basic overview of how it works. Many companies are imprecise, simply listing their system name and declaring it provides better control or better casting, etc. Better than what typically isn't clear. Some promotional hype is crazy and hazy with multiple trademark symbols in every sentence and loads of fluff with a little clarity. Let me take a break from reading this because Lewes, Dollahan PR firm did a great thing for Lewes. Lewes came out with what's called the Orange Crush Reel. And it's a bait caster and it's got orange accents and orange handles. They call it Orange Crush. Well, the PR marketing that I got in the mail was an Orange Crush can, empty, that was crumpled up, had fishing line wrapped around it, Dayglow green fishing line, and a hook. And the hook had a card inviting me to an event at the Lewes booth. So there are some really innovative marketing strategies. Man, if you got a box in the mail with an Orange Crush can, you would pay attention to it because that takes you back to your childhood. So that was just one of those things that's on the marketing promotional hype was really good. Continuing. While I'm on a rant, let me address gimmicks. Savage Gear, a brand of Akuma Fishing, won the best new hard lure category this year with its 3D bat lure. Holy Gotham crankbait. This massive topwater lure looks like a big bat with a big hard wings that splash a lot of water. Viewed underneath from a fish's vantage point, it looks like a giant bug. Maybe a large predator fish will strike it, but it's my view that the lure is more novelty than anything else. And we'll back up to 2016 when they won it with a duck. And I even saw at the FLW Cup a pig lure. So it's getting a little ridiculous, and this is the whole thrust of Ken's article. This company's creative juices are on high bubble. A couple of years ago, they introduced the 3D suicide duck, followed by a lure that combines a frog and a duckling, calling it what else? The frog. Hats off to them for creating a buzz, and thanks for the T-shirt. An insider's look. It's nothing new. Duke points to the famous Ricardo Montalban commercials for Chrysler in the 70s, 80s that talked up Corinthian leather when there was no such thing. Chrysler's ad agency made up the term to create a little differentiation. Fishing gear marketing is often similar. If we take their Metacyclone Tsunami level wind device away from them, they'll have no market differentiator at all. Then what would they do? As for how a consumer can cut through the marketing and make intelligent buys, I'd say true innovation only comes along every few years in our industry. The old saying that there's nothing new under the sun is basically correct. And this is Ken Duke, managing editor of Fishing Tackle Retailer. He offered some lure examples. The 3D bats are a revision of the old Head and Crazy Crawler. And I've got some of those. The River to Sea Whopper Plopper is a Roberts Mud Puppy, 1921. The Alabama rig is the lighter, castable umbrella rig used by striper anglers for decades. The first swim bait, the K&K Animated Minnow, was patented in 1911. In my opinion, this is Ken Duke again, tackle, terms such as lures, lines, rods, and reels evolve slowly with only the occasional quantum leap forward that usually comes from technology. Graphite rods, fluorocarbon line, portable depth finders are examples. It rarely comes from design with spinning, spin casting reels, an obvious exception. He advises anglers to check out new technology, but beware the hype. If the technology gains general acceptance quickly, jump on board or be left behind. And it's okay to be left behind on some things. Anglers should look carefully at design advancements, but continue to ask themselves, how does this apply to my fishing? Anglers should focus on the basics, the tried and true stuff that's already working for them, and see who's breaking, tweaking it, making it just a little better. Ultimately, competence with the basics beats the latest manufacturing marketing fad almost every time. In a focus on basics approach, I also advise people looking at new gear to assess rod and reel materials and how they are used. Do the metals used stand up to the conditions you'll be fishing in? Are plastic or weaker material juxtaposed with metal? What's going to break first? How well are components fastened and sealed? Finally, give your style of fishing an expected use. How smooth or innovative do you need? Do a cost-to-benefit analysis. Corporate hype aside, true innovation often comes from individuals or small companies doing big things, having a creative idea or stumbling on a happy accidental solution. These upstart inventors have a tough time, a tough road to hoe when it comes to advancing in a viciously competitive marketplace. Money, after all, does talk. Now let's see. Where do I put my Nanopop Lightning Guide System Ultra Spectrum Rod with the Super Duper Extreme Bullet Cast Next Generation Trek Crush Bait Casting Reel? Fish don't have a chance. As we often talk, you know, a lot of fishing lures are made to catch fishermen, not fish. So just something fun. You can find that article, the Freelance Star from, gosh, I didn't have the date on it. Ken Perotzotter, the, writer, good article for fishermen out there. So that's it for another Saturday. I hope your, day goes well. Hey, make time to get out there. Fall is a great time to be out in South Carolina. Take the back roads when you can. And as always, don't forget that camera. You'll never know what picture you're presented with. See you next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
You hit me from behind, 'cause I'm